heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation. And now, Malcolm.
Well, it's being called Russia collusion, Russia gate, or simply Russia hacking. Sounds like a spy novel, people, you know, where the actors make up kind of a bold lie incriminating Russia, one of the world's most important players, clearly, accusing them of doctrine changing and stealing the general election in America. We've been hearing this narrative now for the better part of a couple of years now. Let's get to it here. President Donald Trump says he briefly discussed the special counsel Robert Mueller's report in a call he had with Putin, okay, and that, you know, he didn't warn his Russian counterpart to not meddle in the U.S. election. That was part of the narrative we've started to hear that, you know, listen, you remember when he won the campaign, he was saying, I'm going to work with Russia. And people said, oh, what do you mean you're going to work with Russia? I mean, that was the conversation. It's usually what you want a United States president to do is work with everybody around the world, including our adversaries. And I use that word lightly, of course. But there are a lot of things we can do with Russia if we didn't get caught into this whole narrative, which is being used, we'll show today, for some pretty bad things, people, in the country here. Trump comes out, he says, we didn't discuss that in the call he has with Putin, he says. Really, we didn't discuss it. We discussed five or six things. We also went into great detail on various things. This is what he was telling reporters now in the phone call he had with Putin. Now, you stop and think a minute. A lot of people who would hear that would say, why would President Trump, if, you know, not discuss this major problem with Putin? I mean, after all, the Russians stole the election, correct? They were meddling. They were doing a lot of nefarious things. So why wouldn't the president of the United States get after Russia and slap his hands and say, you can't do that, guy? Maybe because maybe Trump knows something we didn't know, maybe, or some of us didn't know, possibly. Might that be it? So you take a look at a lot of these headlines, friends, like The Hill says, Trump says he did not confront Putin on election interference in the post-Mueller call. The Washington Post says, Trump says he talked to Putin about the Russian hoax, but not about ongoing election interference. And of course, the Washington Examiner says, Trump still can't admit that Russia interfered in the election. The Atlantic, Trump and Putin's phone call in Helsinki all over again. And there are so many Democratic operatives that come out and have said right here, I mean, that they bet that Trump wants Russia to interfere again. And the BBC News says, well, Russia, the cloud over the Trump White House. Well, this cloud has been there before day one. Imagine that you get the gig now, the job, and then from before day one, you've got this cloud, gray clouds, dark gray clouds that are suffocating your agenda and everything you do, right? I mean, come on. You know, so Trump says he believes Putin's election meddling denials. That was the headline out of CNN Politics. Of course, I don't have to say any more to you when I say CNN Politics. You get what that means. That was in November 2017, where he says that he believes Putin's election meddling denials. Well, in April, Vladimir Putin mocked the Mueller investigation. This past April, I'm speaking it out, people, denying the election meddling. Now, there have been multiple times that Trump has come out and said he supports the fact that maybe Putin didn't do this, right? You know, the other spun narrative, friends, is that Trump wants to work with Russia in some way so that he must be guilty. So every time President Trump says, well, he wants to work with this adversary, that, you know, somehow he must be guilty because they are bad people, the Russians. We should not be playing with them. We should not be drinking Russian vodka. We should be doing nothing Russian whatsoever, right? That's been the storyline. We've been, well, in many cases, we've been brainwashed. I mean, the public's been brainwashed. I haven't been brainwashed. Maybe you haven't been. I don't know. But a lot of the public has been brainwashed about this Russia thing. There's a mantra in Washington, D.C., people, both with the media elites all across the board, and inside the Beltway, the establishment there, is that Russia actively interfered in the election and may have changed the outcome from Hillary Clinton to Donald Trump. And we're all aghast. how could that happen in America, right? How could that happen here? I've been thinking about that. Maybe it didn't happen, friends. Well, let me bring on here somebody who knows a little more about this than I know here. I'd like you to meet William Binney. Formerly, he was the NSA's Technical Director for World Geopolitical and Military Analysis. Now, Bill is really, truly the designer of many of these programs in use today even. And there are some that describe him as one of the best analysts in the NSA's history. And he certainly has one of the best personalities. I'll give you that, Bill. All right, Bill. So it's a pleasure to have you on here. So Russia says repeatedly they did not interfere with the 2016 election in the United States. Straight out, is Russia responsible for interfering with our election? And could they have changed the outcome, Bill?
Well, first of all, I've never found any evidence that they have. Any positive evidence you could look at and say and demonstrate in a court of law. So, plus, I think it's been fairly well documented. They spent about $100,000 worth of advertising on Facebook, but something like 45,000 of that advertising didn't occur after the election. So, you know, what can you do with about $55,000 worth of advertising on Facebook? You know, I just think that this is all hyped up. I mean, the problem is this military-industrial complex, the shadow government, needs to have an external enemy so they can keep the funding going to all these military efforts and so on and wars around the world that they're creating. I mean, they need something to point to outside to say we got a bad guy there. We have to keep arming and need more taxes and money to protect ourselves from that bad guy. When in fact, you know, when the Soviet Union broke up, there was a verbal agreement between our side and the Soviets that once they pulled back to Russia and formed Russia and the separate countries like Belarus and Ukraine and so on, that the Ukrainians would give all the nuclear weapons that they had to the Russians to manage, and in return, NATO would not move any further east. Well, I mean, you know, the first thing we did was to violate that. We moved into Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Poland, you know, Hungary, and so on. And then we tried to do it in the Ukraine. Remember, under Hillary Clinton, Yats is our guy was the word, you know, and we finally got Yats in. So we created a coup in the Ukraine to make them friendly toward the Western side, our side. And so then we tried to move Ukraine into NATO. And of course, that was in direct violation of all the agreements we had with the Russians, so that the Russians would manage the nuclear weapons and, you know, everything would be fine. Well, the problem there was at the time I was suggesting if we're going to do that, if we're going to invite Ukraine, let's also invite Russia in. That way we're being inclusive. But you see, that didn't fit the narrative. If you don't have an enemy, you can't justify getting funds to protect yourself from that enemy. Yeah. That's fundamentally what's going on. And all these politicians are playing that game too. I call them all warmongers. They want to keep the whole military-industrial intelligence complex going so we can, you know, keep getting more money. And
it's a big machine. And the Ukraine thing has been a farce. We agree with that, Bill. I mean, it's been a complete farce. We have really screwed the Ukrainian people over. And I'm talking about we being the United States, I believe. Yeah. That's the way I look at it anyways. And it sounds like you do as well, I think, with what's happened. All right. So there's narrative now that the Russian military intelligence conducted the internet hack now on the DNC and then provided those files to WikiLeaks, of course, which WikiLeaks denies. Now, WikiLeaks has said that the files were delivered to them on a portable device. That's what they say now, WikiLeaks, that they were not stolen or transferred over the internet. Now, you've conducted two forensic studies on these files, the files published by WikiLeaks and the ones by Guccifer 2.0. What did the studies prove?
Two main things. The Guccifer 2.0 material came across or was downloaded at a speed, the highest speed was 49.1 megabytes per second. The lowest one we calculated was 19 point something megabytes per second. We knew, of course, that wasn't capable of going across the net, across the Atlantic and across Europe into Russia. And in fact, we even said it couldn't go very far inside the United States. The dedicated high speed line to the DNC servers and so on. So, but some of our people in VIPS, the Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, said, oh, well, they thought it could go. And we said, well, okay, we're going to try it. So I had, you know, some friends of mine, the hackers in Europe, and friends over here in the U.S. We put up a data set here in the U.S. and said, okay, guys, here's the data set. Pull it across, see how fast it can get there. And the best we could do, we did it from Albania, Serbia, Netherlands, and the U.K. And the fastest we could get was 12 megabytes per second, which is, you know, less, slightly less than 1/4 the necessary speed to pass the data itself. Mm-hmm. That at the download of 49.1 megabytes. So that basically said this was not a hack. It was a local download. And the speed, so from 19 to 49 megabytes per second, all fit into the range of a USB drive, to be able to download to a USB drive. I think the upper limit on the USB 2 drive is 60 megabytes per second. So all that would fit with the with a download to a USB drive, but not is not compatible with going across the web. At least we couldn't find anything. Some people said they still believed it could. We said, okay, you tell us where you think it can happen. If you need some help testing it, we'll do it with you. Mm-hmm. You know, and I haven't heard anything from anybody in the U.S. government or anywhere else.
Right.
You know, from, you know, nobody's saying anything about it. So,
well, some people believe in the fairy godmother too, you know, brother. So
yeah,
you know.
And also pigs fly. Yeah, yeah.
That's
they
right.
do that too.
Yeah.
And so, but, you know, I believe in proving what is, not what is possible.
That's right. That's right.
So, and so when it came to the DNC data, this was the real kicker though. Mm-hmm. The DNC data that WikiLeaks posted, it's out there. Everybody can go look at it. Mm-hmm. Evidence the property of a FAT file transfer, meaning that's a file allocation table transfer to a storage device. When it does that, it modifies the last modified time to the nearest even second. And so when we looked at all the files that were there, we saw like 500 we looked at, they were all ending in the even second, all the last modified times. Now, the random, I'm a mathematician, so I calculate the random probability of things, you know. What is the random chance that that could happen just randomly, you know?
Right.
Well, it's one chance, and every time is one and two, since it could be even or odd. You know, so it's 1 in 2 to the 500th power, which is like, you know, 1 followed by over 150 zeros if you're on base 10. So you've got one chance out of all that number that you're right, and the rest of it is you're wrong, okay? So the point is that proves very clearly that there was a program that did this, and the program that does that is FAT, and that means it was downloaded to a storage device, either a thumb drive or a CD-ROM, and then physically transported some distance before WikiLeaks could post it. For the Podesta emails, did not evidence that WikiLeaks posted, did not evidence the FAT file formatting. Mm-hmm. So that says, you know, somebody else was sending it electronically, probably, which means that NSA should have it, they should know this, and they're not saying anything. And that's, you know, that's one of the reasons I've been saying this whole allegation has been a farce and a false assertion from the beginning. Because, you know, NSA has all the tap points on inside the United States and around the world and trace route programs, meaning this is really an important point. You see, if you have your listeners go and just Google trace route, it'll explain to you all it's a free software that you can even download on your own computer and use it.
Yeah.
And you can trace the path that packets have used to come to you. So in other words, if I get a packet or a message from somebody and I want to trace it back, I can do that and find out how it went through the network, what the timing was from segment to segment in the network back to the origin, point of origin. So, I mean, for NSA, it would be easy for them to say, yeah, it came from this building in Moscow, you know?
Yeah.
But they haven't said that, have they?
Which proves today there is no more privacy, Bill. I mean, it does not
exist. That's right.
The trace route will tell you exactly that. Let me talk to you about the timeline in 2016. I want to come through a few points with you that are important here. And on June 12th, Julian Assange, he announced that WikiLeaks had and would publish the documents pertinent to Hillary Clinton's campaign. Okay. On June 14th, CrowdStrike, and this is interesting that people need to know about CrowdStrike, okay? It's a cybersecurity firm that was hired by the DNC, from what I understand, and they were, without proving any evidence, that it found malware on DNC servers was their announcement. Now, CrowdStrike, and they had evidence, they said, that Russians were responsible for planting it. Now, CrowdStrike, I mean, they hate anything that is... And they hate Trump as well. They definitely want them out of. That was on June 14th. This is all now, this is 2016. This is prior to November. On June 15th, Lucifer II first appeared, and they took responsibility for the hack, reported on the 14th, and claimed to be a WikiLeaks source, you remember, and then posted these documents. And then on the 5th of July, Lucifer again claimed that they had remotely hacked the DNC servers, and the operation was instantly described as another intrusion attributable to Russia. Now, I remember when all that was going on, Bill. It was a real hullabaloo as far as, you know, we were all wondering what the hell is going on with the DNC. And it was almost hysterical the way it was all, and it was comedy hour basically for the late night comics with everything coming out on WikiLeaks and her campaign. And then of course Comey comes in and the whole thing blew up like a firestorm. While all this is going on, there was a British ambassador who said that he met with someone who was not a Russian state actor at a university in Washington, D.C., and he received a thumb drive of files. Why has nobody talked about this?
Because nobody wants to hear any counterpoints to a narrative that is manufactured and everybody likes. That's fundamentally it. I mean, they've manufactured this. There's no substance to any of it. I look for substance in a Mueller report. I didn't find any. You know, everybody keeps saying we should impeach Trump, and I say, for what? What's the crime? And I can't see it. Nobody's saying it.
For using Twitter. You know, because they, using Twitter.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's his crime. Okay. I get it. Right. He's communicating with the people of the United States. That's brilliant, you know? Yeah. If you know what I mean.
I mean,
the point, I mean, you know, it's just crazy that people would even suggest something like that without any foundation. I mean, how they're ever going to live it down, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, this whole thing has been, you know, when you create a falsehood, it's like you're creating a crow, and that crow keeps growing and growing and growing with time. So either you face it early and eat a small crow, or you face it later and eat a much larger crow.
Right.
So,
and they keep eating it and eating it, though. They're not facing anything, clearly. Tell us a moment,
right.
What do people need to know about CrowdStrike? Tell us about CrowdStrike, please.
I haven't been able to get any meaningful information from them that I can do a review of at all from them. I mean, they came in, somebody came to me and said that CrowdStrike would like to debate you publicly. And I said, well, okay, I'd be glad to do that. But, you know, everything I'm looking at is public, in the public domain, and anybody can look at it. Even CrowdStrike can go look at it and do their own analysis, and then we can talk about that. But CrowdStrike is making assertions from data I can't see. So I'd like to see their entire network log and all the data that they're using to make their assertions on. And so then I can do a peer review of that and then comment on that. And I haven't heard from them since, because they're not going to give it to me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's even worse than that. You'll hear about this when the Stone case comes out. But I submitted the affidavit in the Stone, sworn affidavit into the Stone case, the Roger Stone's case.
Right.
Basically saying the same thing I just told you about the DNC emails posted by WikiLeaks showing a file transfer. It wasn't electronically transferred.
Right.
And then also about the Lucifer 2 data, the speed of transfer was too great to go across the web. Mm-hmm. So those two basic facts said, hey, everything that they're pushing is a fabrication.
Now, how will that help Stone, do you think? Will it help Stone?
Well, I mean, actually, I believe the entire foundation of what the government pushed right up front started with the Russian hack. Mm-hmm. They're basically attempting to get the court to dupe them, which they've done, right? These judges don't really know what's going on. All they do is believe. They can only believe what they're being told, okay?
Right. Yeah.
They don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's why I put that sworn affidavit in, because I wanted to take that whole basis away from them. So, but they did that to scare judges to make sure that they could sign warrants and things like that. They did that all the time.
Okay.
So, the judges, the worst part of it is the judges know that they're being lied to all along. They've known this for a long time. I mean, the first time I saw any recognition of it by the courts was by the FISA court back in August of 2002, when they'd caught the FBI lying to them in attempts to get 75 warrants.
Mm-hmm.
But they'd already approved the warrants because they didn't, you know, what do they know, you know? They only know what they're being told. That's the problem with that court. That court needs to go away. Everything they need to do needs to be out in the Article III courts, where there's, you know, out in the open, where they can't hide the criminality that they're doing. That's the real issue.
Yeah.
But they're committing crimes in secret. And because it's in secret, they can keep it out of the sight of everybody, and so they're never held accountable. That's the real problem.
Friends, more Voice of a Nation in just a moment here.
The silent majority has spoken. We say, let the silent voices be heard. You can be the voice of change. Contact our producer at liberty@americaoutloud.com. liberty@americaoutloud.com.
I'm going to ask you to go to thewoundedblue.org. That's www.thewoundedblue.org. That is the website for the organization that is the National Association for Injured and Disabled Police Officers. It is a support organization for these men and women who have given so much in the line of duty. We desperately need your help to raise money to get this movement going. And if you are a GoFundMe-er, go to GoFundMe, look up The Wounded Blue, and you can give there as well. But check it out, please, and also check out our film, The Wounded Blue, on Amazon.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
All right, well, welcome you on here, friends, for the Voice of a Nation, and we're speaking with William Binney. With all that you know, tell me this. Does this surprise you? I mean, everything that you know a lot, and you know an awful lot, as a technical director with the NSA, how much of this surprises you, and who are the actors behind this whole gag, Bill?
This was the assessment that I basically gave my assessment to Director Pompeo when he was CIA head. He asked me who I thought behind all of this, and I basically said that the Russiagate seemed to be directed out of the White House by the president. Not that he did it in an interactive way, in a constant way, but he approved the whole concept. And it probably was generated out of CIA with Brennan and cooperation out of the DOJ and by the Attorney General and also the FBI by Comey. And NSA, to a degree, was participating because of the ongoing things that they're doing and the people have access, like FBI and CIA have direct access to all the NSA collection. Nobody's looking at that for oversight. So, and nobody's holding them accountable for what they do with that data. Mm-hmm. And we can get into some of the parallel construction, perjury in court, and all of that they've been doing. I mean, even the lying to the Supreme Court to save the whole process. The whole process that they're trying to keep out of sight and out of mind and save is the bulk collection on everybody. Because once you have all that data, that's power over everyone. I mean, you can do anything you want. You could threaten people. I mean, look what's happened to the mainstream media. Part of that was because of the Jim Rice and Jim Rosen, the Associated Press, all the spying and threats that they were under, like grand juries and so on. I mean, and then when Joe Nocio, the former head of Quest, when NSA approached him in February of 2001, this is like 7 months before 9/11, they approached him to give him and asked him to give them all of his data on his customers, well, on how many millions of U.S. citizens that was by Quest. But he basically refused and said, I'm not going to do that unless you give me a signed warrant signed by a judge, and then I'll do it. And they wouldn't do that. Why? Because, you know, what judge at that point would have signed it? Nobody. You know, there was no justification like in 9/11 to threaten a judge with, which they did after 9/11. That was the process of how they got that going. But so then Joe Nocio became, basically an impediment to them. And so what they did was eventually they went into that material and he said they manufactured stuff. I believe they probably did because they did that to us. And what it means is you can go into the data and manipulate it, change it, right, and make it look like somebody did something. Just like the marble framework programs of CIA make it look like the Russians did it or the Chinese or the Iranians or somebody. Mm-hmm. You can also do that with anyone. You can go into that data, modify it, and make it look like they did something bad. And so he said that's what they did to him, and I believe him. And they put him in jail for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And so then he became the poster boy for all CEOs of telecoms and internet service providers. If you don't cooperate with us, here's what's going to happen to you.
Yeah.
So that set the whole stage for all this mass spying. And this is the thing, this is the criminal activity our government is trying to hide, both Democrats and Republicans.
Yeah.
It's not political. Yeah. No political party is responsible mm-hmm. for this. They're both doing it.
That's it, right?
And so that's the problem.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when you've got so many people involved in this criminality, also in the courts, I mean, the FISA court's liable for all this, too. Look at that warrant they issued to Verizon that came out of the Snowden material was a general warrant. Well, that's in violation of the Constitution. Now, those judges that signed that stuff are in violation of the Constitution. They should lose their law license and be disbarred, you know, and just close that court down. I mean, those people are part of these crimes.
Do you think the FISA court will get reworked over after all of this is done? There's been talk about it.
Well, I think it has to. I think it has to go away.
Go away.
Mean, if they're going to claim you're going to go into the courts, are the third. It's Article 3, right? And Article 3 courts, that's where you have opposing forces, you know, where the judge adjudicates between the two positions. Mm-hmm. And you won't get this hanky-panky going on in the background because judges are sitting there and the government comes there and that's the only one that tells them anything. So even Reggie Walton, the former senior judge on the FISA court back in, I think it was August of 2013, shortly after the Snowden material came out, he went on CNN and he said, well, we in the FISA court have limited capacity to even verify what the NSA, wow. CIA, the FBI are telling him.
Wow.
In fact, he doesn't have limited. He has absolutely none.
Yeah.
All he can do is look at the forms and say, yeah, this is the right form, or you need this form, or, you know, cross that T, dot that I, you know, that's about the extent of what they can do.
So in layman's terms, the FISA court is their bitch.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, that's pretty straightforward talk, but that's what it is. Let me ask you, Brennan, Clapper, Comey, Holder, Lynch, and then all the way up to, and of course, Hillary is hanging out there in the woodwork there, and then Obama. Any doubt in your mind, I can't imagine there is, but is there any doubt in your mind that that Obama, Barack Obama, the commander-in-chief himself, he knew about all this? He was behind it all, wasn't he?
Yeah, in fact, I think some of the stuff that was just recently released from the Senate side of the and Judiciary Committee, I think it was, that it released all the exchanges of the discussions and testimony with Loretta Lynch and
I've seen that.
Others.
Yeah,
and I think that's going to show very clearly that President Barack Obama knew all about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Now, just speculate. We never do anything to a previous president. I mean, would that be a change in the way we do business here in America? You don't really ever see him. I mean, truly. I mean, that's a tough question. But do you see him serving any jail time, Barack Obama?
See, I look at it this way. I blame this entire episode, everything that's going on, all this spying, all this corruption, all that, and done in secret. I blame it all on Jerry Ford.
On Ford?
Because Jerry Ford, because he pardoned Nixon for using the same agencies, NSA, CIA, and FBI, to spy on Americans, Americans who didn't like his agenda or his war. The war in Vietnam wasn't his, but he inherited it, but he was still perpetuating it, and they opposed that, and because they were opposing his policies, he had those agencies spy on him. I think there was an attempt to get Martin Luther King to commit suicide, I think, and various other things that the FBI did. Right, our FBI did this. And so this, once he pardoned Nixon, because Nixon was about to be indicted and taken into court for all these crimes after he resigned. Ford pardoned him. He said because that would take away the issue from the country.
Right.
Well, no, the country really needed that issue to come to go into court. Otherwise, that says that presidents won't be held accountable for their actions.
So you're saying Ford changed history with that move.
That's exactly right. And what that said to everybody was that every president can do whatever he wants, and he has a get-out-of-jail-free card. That's the next president, because the next president wants to do whatever he wants to do, and if he doesn't pardon him, he can't do that either.
Did Nixon deserve jail time back then, Bill?
Absolutely. Yes, he did. Yeah,
he did. He did. And so your answer today would then be that Barack Obama definitely deserves jail time because what he did in comparison probably pales, you know.
It is. But you'd also have to start with Bush and Cheney. The four people who started this massive spying program are Bush, Cheney, Hayden, and Tenet. Mm-hmm. They all met, you know, directors of NSA and CIA and the president and the vice president. Mm-hmm. I think the president, more than anything else, delegated that authority to Cheney because inside NSA, that program was called a Cheney blood oath. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like in the old days, in the old Westerns, you get to cut your hands and you put them together and now you're blood brothers.
Blood brothers. Yeah, we did that as kids.
So,
that's right.
Yeah, it's a game you play. Yeah, and that's from the old Westerns, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if the newer ones do that.
I don't think so. I don't think they make those anymore, to be honest with you. But all right, so this is, I mean, it's amazing that we're talking about what we're talking about. You almost feel like it's an out-of-body experience, Bill. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't you think sometimes?
Yes, I do. But we see it gets even worse than that. If you look at history of what's really gone down, look at the slam dunk intelligence, slam dunk of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Mm-hmm. And because of that, basically we go over there and kill a couple hundred thousand people, all based on a lie.
Yeah.
And then look at the Tonkin Gulf affair that didn't happen, and LBJ wanted a war with Vietnam, so he started that war that way, and that's the pretext he used, which was a lie also.
Yeah.
So he go over there and kill a couple million people.
Yeah.
And then just look at what happened to me. I mean, President Trump told Director Pompeo if he wanted to get any facts about Russiagate to talk to me.
Right.
What's that really say? That really says that the president and Director Pompeo are not getting facts from the intelligence community.
Exactly. Now, you never spoke to Trump on this, right? It's been through Pompeo, right?
Right. That's right.
And I've wondered often why he doesn't call you in there and talk to you, because he knows everything you're talking about here today, correct?
Yes, he does. Yeah.
Of course he does. Yeah.
You know, well, he also asked me if I'd be willing to talk to NSA and the FBI, and I said, yeah, sure, I would. I'd be glad to do that, but I would in no way assist them in violating the constitutional rights of U.S. citizens that they're doing now.
Yeah.
He said basically nobody wants that, but, I mean, the problem is they're not admitting it. It's like, you know, they're all like alcoholics. They can't admit they've got a problem.
Yeah. Well, they don't want to admit for obvious reasons.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
They like the high they get from being alcoholics, quite frankly. You know, it's a real high.
Yeah, and there's so much money in this, too. It's tens of billions every year.
Power, money, greed, you know, it's all high-stakes scheme, brother, you know. The FBI now, a lot of people would ask why they did not seize the DNC computers to determine who did the hacking and Russia's involvement, but that would be an obvious answer, wouldn't it be? Bill, is there any other reason?
Yes, it would. I mean, they did, you know, I used a comparison of what they did to me with no evidence whatsoever. In fact, they already knew who did the New York Times thing. They accused us of that, but that was a lie. Mm-hmm. And they knew that, okay, because at the time they had all the phone calls and emails and everything of everybody anyway at that time from the Stellar Wind program and the upstream collection. So they knew that we didn't do it, and still they came and just seized our property and took it away. In fact, we had to sue them 5 years later to get it back. But that's what they did to us. They didn't do that to the DNC when the DNC reported the crime.
Yeah.
So I don't understand what their problem was. For me, the issue would have been simply to go take the stuff, and then you have the best, then you have control of the evidence for a court case. Now they don't. Now they have nothing but the word of a third-party CrowdStrike.
Because they didn't want it. They didn't want it, clearly. That's the game plan. Now, I think the big question is who stole the DNC files then and the John Podesta emails as well? Who stole them?
I think the FBI already knows that. So does NSA.
Have they told Trump that?
No, that's why he sent me over to talk to Pompeo.
Right.
You know, that's the problem. When you don't have an intelligence community that tells the truth to leaders who can make decisions to kill people, you know, this is really bad. I mean, if you can't depend on them to do the right thing, which you can't because of what they've done, just look at what's been going on here. I mean, this is what this has been so corrupt at the top levels of all these agencies, you know. So, you know, it's a matter of holding them all accountable, and you have to do that. You have to look back. It's not like Obama. We aren't going to look back. We're going to look forward. What that says is we're going to continue the crimes that they've been committing, guys. We're not going to tell you that, but we're going to do that. And that's exactly what he did, and he doubled down on those crimes.
Wow, wow. You know, for those of us who are patriots and love our country, this is always a hard conversation to have, buddy, you know, truly, you know.
Well, it's fundamentally sedition against the founding principles of the government and treason against the founding principles of this nation.
That's it,
buddy. Our Constitution. That's our principle, guy.
Yeah, it's our down cycle. It's our down cycle. It happens from inside this country. It's not an adversary or an enemy or a terrorist group or anything else that's going to bring America down, Bill.
That's right here
on the home, man.
I agree totally. I keep saying that, you know, we have done to ourselves what the terrorists could not and would want to do.
Like any great empire. Yeah, that's it. And again, we're in that. I had a show the other day, Bill, where I talked about we're in that really sweet spot, a very difficult spot between the 200 and 300 year mark. Nobody goes over 300 years. And that would be American exceptionalism at that point, I was saying. And we're just shy of that. And boy, are we screwing up. I mean, we are definitely screwing up these days.
Yeah, and I don't see the difficulty in fixing this. Just go by the law and based on the Constitution, and those are still guiding principles for human rights.
That's right.
And you know, I don't see a real problem with that. If people just paid attention and followed that, it would be so easy to get out of this.
How do you feel about Pompeo after you? How long was your meeting with Pompeo? How long did that go on? And how did he come across to you? And what happened from that?
The meeting was for an hour in his office on the seventh floor of the CIA building. He seemed like, you know, he was listening. You know, he tried to say, well, there's issues with things like we couldn't come out with the data if NSA or any of them had it because it'd be classified. And I said, well, John Fitzgerald Kennedy exposed the U-2 flight photographs of the intermediate missiles in Cuba. At the time in the UN, he did this. Here are your international missiles. And this was highly classified material at the time. And he did it. Why? Because they were in a threat of war. Now, this is what some of the Congress have said about Russiagate. This is an act of war. Well, you're going to say that, produce the goods. So far, they produced nothing. Or take, for example, Ronald Reagan when he was president and the North Koreans shot down the Russians shot down the South Korean airline over Sakhalin Island, or just past Sakhalin Island. So he exposed the Japanese collection of the air-to-ground control of the fighter, ordering the fighter to shoot it down.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, I mean, and that's also classified, and that's not U.S. intercept or U.S. data, it's Japanese data, you know, Japanese classified data.
Yeah.
So they can do basically anything they want to. If they have a serious problem, they want to say, you know, this is an act of war and we're going to go to war. By God, put the data out there and nobody's going to believe them. Because look what they did in Iraq. Look what they did in Vietnam.
It's a scam.
You know, look what they did in Libya. Look what they did in, you know, they've destabilized a lot of more countries, got us into more wars. Now, the military-industrial complex really like that.
That's right. That's right. You know? And they know that Trump doesn't want war. You know that. They know Trump is a non-convention, right? He doesn't want war.
Right.
So, yeah. Including the Iran stuff, I mean. Right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But we, the people, are the ones who pay the price.
Oh, totally.
Who bleeds and dies.
That's right.
And gets wounded and maimed, you know?
Yeah.
Not them.
Let me ask you, how much do you believe, honestly, in your opinion, the president understood? Now, the president was a businessman. I mean, he knew some things, but he didn't know all this. How much do you think he understood, Bill, about the players? I want to say the actors, the players. I don't want to use the name deep state, but we know who they are. Or how much do you think he knew about all that before he entered the Oval Office? Because obviously he knows a lot now. So what do you think he knew prior to coming in? Anything like this magnitude?
I don't think he understood the magnitude of it, but I think he really had some idea that some of that was going on, you know, but he didn't realize the extent of it, I don't think. But now he's getting wise to it. And, you know, he's also getting wise to the British and the Israeli influences in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is a lot of people come around him as advisors and so on, keep saying, oh, don't do that, you know. Like exposing all the paperwork related to the FISA court application for a warrant against one of his people in this campaign. So, you know, that's the stuff that other countries came in and said, don't do that. Well, just think about the Roger Steele. I mean the Steele dossier and who was behind that. He was from MI6, which is the equivalent of CIA in England.
Yeah.
And also, you know, they had the opposition from the Israelis. I'm not sure what the connection is there, but, you know, there's international connections here, and those need to come to light. That's the point.
Yeah. No, they need to come to light. It's right. You know, it's odd, Bill. You know, we're always looking over our shoulder at our enemies, the North Koreas, again, the Russia, the Chinas. But you never really, some people think that, you know, you wouldn't expect the British to do certain things. You wouldn't expect the French, the Germans, or the Israelis, like you say. And these are equivalent to a best friend who just screws you over and stabs you right in the back. And that's what's going on. And nobody's talking about this either.
Yeah, and also the idea that others could try to create incidents that would get us into wars to kill their enemies. You know, it's like we're being duped into a war. That's the kind of the case in Iraq, in my view.
In a recent interview, you had said you don't call it the Department of Justice. You said you call it the Department of Just Us. Tell folks what
just
you mean by
us.
It.
Yeah. Just us. Just us. In other words, it's just us that are in that get. That are legally protected. Mm-hmm. The rest of us, the law doesn't apply to us. All the laws that exist apply to us, but the laws they use for themselves so that gets them out of jeopardy, like Hillary Clinton or, you know, where is Comey or McCabe or any of those people? They're out walking around selling books, you know? Mm-hmm. Or all the people who created this spying mechanism, where are they? They're out, you know, doing all kinds of contractual and consulting businesses and so on.
Yeah.
Well, you know, these are fundamental, in my view, they're fundamental crimes. Yeah. And they should be, if whistleblowers, just take the case of whistleblowers. Most of them have had threatened, they were either taken into court, busted, or financially, or they're serving time in jail for much minor, much more simple, you know, finite problems that pale in comparison to what these people have done.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's two sets of justice. One for those inside the ring of the Department of Justice and everybody else.
Yeah, two sets of justice. So, for the power seekers and the rest of us, indeed. Bill, are you ever, fair question, I hope. Are you in fear of your life ever?
No. No. Well, I'd start out by saying if anything happens to me, you know who did it.
Yeah, for sure we know. But again, there have been others around here, as we said, that have met their fate in an interesting way that are tied, as you say, we started talking about that with the Clintons, you know.
That's no reason to stop. I'll be 76 this year.
Wow.
So I have a limited amount of time left, and I want to spend it properly for the people of this country and for this country itself.
God bless you, Bill. Wow, 76. Man, I thought you were maybe in your early 60s, buddy. So you're preserving well. So let me ask.
I attribute that to the preservatives in the food.
Oh, come on now. There's a Monsanto, huh? It's the Monsanto diet.
Exactly.
So your honest opinion, Brennan, Clapper, Comey, again, Holder, Lynch, any of these characters, do you believe any of them see the inside of a jail cell?
Well, I certainly hope so, because they should. Let's put it that way. If I were just gauging on what happened to the rest of us, when any of these kinds of issues come up, we end up in jail. So, yeah, they should. They even fabricated evidence to try to put us in jail for 35 years.
Yeah.
They made up evidence.
Yeah.
You know, these are felonies, you know, and, you know, just to keep us quiet. That was the whole point of it. So,
And Bill, the last big point I want to ask you today about, and I think that is really sad, that needs to be pointed out to we the people here with you, and that is the Fourth Estate. I still shake my head here as I talk to you with everything we've discussed and talked about right now, with all the journalists out there and all the potential journalism, and the fact that this is only being talked about in grassroots, or it's only being talked about with alternative media specifically. Networks want nothing to do with it. Any of the players want nothing to do with it. Of course, they're all owned by far left people, but they don't want to admit the obvious. But the Fourth Estate has been rattled. It's been shaken to its core here. Shouldn't we all be concerned with that? What do you think? What happens?
Yeah, and because of that, because they basically cowtailed to the agenda of the government and the government agencies. I basically said that we no longer have a free press, and they are not meeting their function under the First Amendment of the Constitution. So therefore, they should be removed. You know, we need some other media to take it to their place, because they're not reliable, they're not honest, they're not searching for answers to tell the public what's really going on with their government or in the country. So
That's right. You know, hence why you're here today, my friend. It's here why you're here today. I want to applaud you for in every way. I listen right now at this moment. We the people are standing up, clapping for you, because of everything you've just said and the way you laid it out so perfectly, Bill. And even they say, you say, well, listen, I'm 76. I mean, my days are here to do what's right for America. We all should think that no matter what age we're at, whether we're in our 40s, 50s, or 70s, or 80s, or whatever. But not everybody thinks that way, clearly. Everybody has different priorities. Some are more about the power and greed and corrupt and control you talk about, Bill. Others are more in it for the majesty of humankind and for the majesty of America and all that it is, right? I mean, it's what the way we see America, right? I mean, I know, buddy. Yeah. I drink that Kool-Aid every morning when I get up, my friend, and I'm not willing to compromise on the power and the greed and the corrupt. I mean, no, any more than you are.
That's right.
Which is why you'll always have a home here at America Out Loud as we bring the voices to the table here. There's much more. I would absolutely stay close. I want to have you back, obviously. There's so much. I could talk to you for days, buddy, just days, man. So, I mean, there's so much we can talk about and really uncover it, but there's so much we've just discussed for people to chew on right here at this moment in the Voice of the Nation. Friends, big thank you here again to William Binney, and it's a big conversation, but he's formerly the NSA technical director. You heard the conversation here. We're going to pause, be back with the Peanut Gallery at the Voice of the Nation in just a moment. The Out Loud perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutLoud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Now we bring on our Peanut Gallery friends. We have joining us Del Wilber. Del, as you know, is a former CIA and Department of Defense Intelligence and Counterterrorism officer. He's a columnist here at America Out Loud, friends. Matt King is an independent researcher and a veteran of the United States Air Force. And Matt, Del, what a conversation. What's the biggest takeaway, Matt?
Well, at a very high level, what he's really describing is what we're witnessing is the risk of what these programs have, and the risk being that they can be abused. And whenever I hear him talk about it, what I keep going back to is the risk associated with such high secrecy. So with secret courts, I know Admiral Rogers also submitted a report for illegal contractor access to data. Within that secrecy, we lose the layers of accountability. And I think that that's really getting to what he was saying.
Well, anybody that just heard that conversation with Bill Binney, Dell, I mean, they would see that there is no accountability. I mean, he just spelled it out in black and white for everybody. There is no accountability coming out of Washington, pure. If anybody thought there was, or to any, and he said both parties, he called the whole system out. Now, they don't like to use the word deep state a lot because the media has hijacked that term to be a conspiracy and that it's all made up crap. What do you say to that, Del?
Well, I mean, based on what I heard, I think it's flipping outrageous what's been going on, you know, and certainly from my perspective, having been an intelligence officer, of course, I wasn't involved in the kinds of activities that he described. But, you know, there's no doubt that we've got to overhaul our government, starting at the very top. I think these problems became worsened under the last administration, and they were going to do whatever they needed to do in order to complete the fundamental transformation of this country that Barack Obama promised us.
Yeah, but he went further than that as well, Dale. He also talked about the fact that you know, that this was back to Bush and Cheney, and he brought it all the way back through the various administrations. I mean, he really drew the lines and connected the dots, actually he surprised me too, went back to Ford. Do you agree with what he says, Dale, about Ford, that he made a historical mistake?
Yeah, I don't necessarily agree with that, but I think that You know, if you recall, I mean, I'm old enough to remember, I lived through that era, Nat, and Richard Nixon suffered certainly from, you know, from having to resign from office and that. I don't know that it would have added any more to it to throw him in jail. Mess was received loud and clear. I think what's happened since then is that the career politicians that we have in Washington, D.C. have basically become too comfortable in their jobs. And that's why I'm a staunch supporter of term limits.
Matt, what do you think about, I mean, term limits is something that could help, couldn't it?
Yeah, of course it could. I mean, if you look at what the private sector does with their organizations, and actually the military does the same thing. It's good practice to move people in and out,
that's right,
changing roles and things like that. So,
but they don't want to do that, Matt. They want to keep them deaf, dumb, and stupid. They're Americans. They don't want to do that. We need them to change the rules. We can't change it, right? I mean, we need legislation to do it.
Right. So they've got to change the rules on themselves.
On themselves, which is, well, think about this, how sick this whole thing is, Matt. I mean, there is no we the people. I mean, the only thing we can do is put them into office, and that's it. And they do what they do. And just like everything else they do, including the hush funds and the rest of the stuff they do there, and the steal and the lobbyist and the money, and they all get rich and wealthy. You know, we'll dial it back here now to what Bill Binney points out with the fact that he says right out that he believes President Trump knows all of this. I mean, he knows everything Binney knows, because he has shared this with Pompeo in detail. And all this has come into his mindset now, as we've discussed in the conversation we had. And which is why he's come off with all these times and said, well, we need to work with Russia. We have made a mockery, and I've said this from day one, Dell, we've made a mockery out of the relationship with Russia. We need to work with Russia. I mean, this is the way this is in the world. You can't just do another, what are we going to do, another Cold War? Again, but like he says, they want that enemy, because it builds up all of their coffers, it builds up all their agencies, it builds up all their importance, it builds up all their esteem in the industrial military complex, doesn't it, Dell?
Well, I mean, certainly Russia has been and will continue to be a bad actor at times on the world stage, but truthfully, not much worse than what we ourselves have done throughout history. I mean, all one has to do is look back at how many nations we have interfered or outright conducted a coup against because we felt it was in our better interest. So, it serves our purpose to make Russia the bogeyman right now.
Serves our purpose. Again, that's our system of governing here. And then they say at the next point, I hear somebody say, well, this is the best there is in the world. Well, I'll tell you what, this is the best there is, Matt, then human nature is screwed.
Well, I believe it is the best. I've worked in upwards of 30 countries, so it's the best I've seen by far. But that doesn't mean that we don't have our problems, and that doesn't mean that we shouldn't strive to be better.
How do we fix all this?
Well, admitting to our own problems, I think, is the first step, right?
Well, who's going to admit, though? Which side? I mean, they're both corrupt, the left and the right. So who admits? Like you said, he's thinking Brennan, Clapper, Comey, Holder, Lynch, any of them. He thinks they all should be in jail, the whole group, including Obama. Now, will any of them get there?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. I certainly hope so. I mean, if we're going to turn the page and start working towards a better country and a better future, then
that's the key right to happen. There. Of course, the media plays along with this thing. You talk all the time, Dell, about the Fourth Estate and how corrupt the sons of bitches are. So talk to me about, so if they're not correcting it, who's it come down to? It's we the people, and it's folks like us, not alternative media and folks like America Out Loud. Who else is going to do it?
Okay. I mean, the media has become so corrupted over the years, and, you know, we have to demand more accountability from the news media, and we're not getting it right now. What we've got is a news media that is out to cover up the crimes of the previous administration, and they're doing everything they can to try to convict this administration. So we've got to make changes. We've got to flush them out.
We've got to make changes. We've got to flush them out, which means that, and the only way to do that is that we the people, again, it's you at home there that are going to have to turn that stuff off. I mean, because the only thing that will get them to stop is when they don't have the money. It's all about money. And if their ratings are decimated and they don't have an audience, that's when they're put out. That's the only way, Dell, to put them out of their misery. You know, there is no other way.
You know, in a column that I've got out today, and that one of the things I mentioned is that, you know, we share the blame for this. We allowed this to happen.
That's right.
You know, we sat back and did not get involved locally in politics and that, and we need to change that because that's where it's going to start.
We're exposed right now in the public square, I believe. I think we're at a pivotal time of our history because the corruption is so deep, wide, and far.
And also just the general level of distrust. And that's what really started to shake me up, is that once I started to work in other countries, and countries that had recently gone through strife or civil war or even coups, that I saw a lot of the same elements here at home within our people. The anger, distrust, unwillingness to listen, a lot of those elements were here in 2015, and that really rang the alarm bells for me.
Yeah, when you say it shook you up, I mean, it should shake everybody up. Everybody that's listening right now should be shaken up with what we're talking about. And we're at a fundamental moment, friends, of this country. I mean, it is striking when you hear the conversation coming from a director, a technical director of the NSA, someone like a William Binney, and you hear him, you know he's speaking truth. You know that. There's no way you would not know what would he have to lose otherwise? He's certainly not out for power, greed's not running for office. The only thing he has to lose is his life, as I pointed out to him and asked him that serious question. So I think you have to start to draw some connections. Now, listen, I want to suggest to you out there that people need to hear what William Binney just said, what Bill Binney just exposed to us. We know unequivocally now the Russians have nothing to do with this. You now know when you leave this talk right now today, the Russians had not a damn thing to do with this. Nothing, nothing. This was an inside job. This was always an inside job. It was always going to be an inside job. And you know another thing I've been thinking about? How stupid we look in the world community, for real. So we can't even protect our election. And we run around, and I've been thinking about that in days past. We sound like a bunch of crybabies. We sound like, we're worried about the Russians and the Chinese, and they're all meddling our election. I mean, the superhero now can't even protect our own election. I mean, how sick is that? And yet we're all whining on the world stage. We're worried about, you know, the elections, election integrity. We know where the real election integrity problem is. We're out there whining to everybody, to the world. We're not bad enough and big enough that we can stop the Russians from intervening in our election. These bad Russians. The Russians have enough problems to deal with, people. They're not going to turn America over by meddling with our elections. I mean, they're meddling with us psychologically. We've done the damage internally here. We've done the whole Russian problem here. Russia's only a problem because we've made it a problem. It's just like you connect the dots back to both sides. And you think of what the Bushes and the Cheneys know. And you think of all of these players, what they know, who think they're high and mighty. And the Clintons and the corruptness. And the players that are in there now. So the question becomes now, how far and wide and how much can Trump do? How much can this guy do? And how much does the Pompeos of the world have his back? And all the others he's put into place now in these in his cabinet. See, how much do they really have his back as the military-industrial complex continues to have their way on we the people? Lot to think about, friends. My message to we the people, it's time to get involved and get loud.